You have your Bibles, if you'd like to turn to Luke chapter 22. Let's start reading from the beginning of it. Luke 22, verse 1. Now the feast of unleavened bread drew near, which is called Passover. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might kill Jesus, for they feared the people. Then Satan entered Judas, surnamed Iscariot, who was numbered among the 12. So he went his way and conferred with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him to them. And they were glad and agreed to give him money. So he promised and sought opportunity to betray him to them in the absence of the multitude. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. He sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat." So they said to him, "Where do you want us to prepare?" And he said to them, "Behold, when you've entered the city, a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house which he enters. Then you shall say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says to you, where is the guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' Then he will show you a large, furnished upper room. There make ready." So they went, and found it just as he had said to them, and they prepared the Passover. When the hour had come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, "With fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." He took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to him, saying, "This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of my betrayer is with me on the table. And truly, the Son of Man goes as it has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed." That's why we're here tonight. In obedience to what Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Jesus didn't leave things to the last minute. He carefully planned his supper. And during Passover time, all the lodgings in Jerusalem were free. And this is what Jesus had arranged for this meal. Lodgings were let to pilgrims. And it was usually accepted that for the provision of a room, a small gift would be given to the owner at the end. At the supper, Jesus broke the bread and said, "This is my body which is given for you." The bread is a sacrament. What is a sacrament? A sacrament is something very ordinary which has acquired a meaning far beyond itself for those who have eyes to see and a heart to understand. It is a dramatic symbol of Jesus' broken body on the cross, given for you and for me. Jesus said of the cup, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood which is shed for you." What is this new covenant? This covenant is a new relationship between God and man. A new relationship between you, me, and God. And this also is a powerful symbol of the blood of Christ, who was shed for us for the forgiveness of all our sins. Not just that, but the sins of the whole world. In the beginning, God graciously gave man free choice. Man promised to obey and keep God's law. But man couldn't do that. In fact, he chose not to. The result, sin interrupted and came into the world, breaking the special relationship between God and man. That relationship between them could only be restored through faith. Faith in God, faith in the Lordship of Jesus, faith in the shedding of Jesus' blood. Jesus is saying to us, "You are sinners, but because I died for you, God is no longer your enemy. God is now your friend." those words of Jesus, "Do this in remembrance of me." And this is why the scriptures encourage us to share communion regularly, to ensure that we never forget. As we receive the bread and the wine tonight, are we thinking about what it cost Jesus to have our relationship with God restored? Are we seeing Jesus on the cross? Or are we just doing it because we always do it once a month? If we take communion, as Scripture sets out, as a pledge to follow Jesus, but then denying by our lives, by our actions, by our thoughts and words, we, like Judas, then become traitors. It's a terrible thought. As we take communion, do it as a pledge to follow Jesus. It's interesting that on the whole, Satan himself had been out of sight, really, until the temptation, since the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. As you know, Jesus resisted the devil, but Judas simply could not. He chose not to. Judas thought that he could change the way that Jesus was going about bringing in the kingdom of God. As we know, Judas's plan did not change Jesus's fate, but it did change his. And this is a warning for all of us, to allow God to be in control. We need to be careful not to get in his way, to think that we have all the answers, that we know what is best for the church, what is best for the church's life and outreach. That warning, let's allow God to be in control. Judas believed he had control of the situation, but Luke makes it clear in the Gospel that Jesus is very much still in control. Judah thought that he was wiser, that he knew better than Jesus, and that now this was the time for him, Judas, the friend of Jesus, to be involved in making some radical leadership decisions. How wrong he was. Interesting when you think about the life of Jesus here on earth, it just struck me when I was doing this. Born in someone else's stable, he rode into Jerusalem on someone else's donkey, and here he shares a Passover in someone else's house. And then when he dies, he's buried in someone else's grave. It's interesting, isn't it? The one who gives us everything owns nothing. It really struck me that when I was looking at that. The words of Jesus at this Passover supper echo throughout all Christian history. All of us here today are called to this table together as family, pledged to follow Jesus as brothers and sisters in Christ, to receive from a generous God, to receive what we haven't earned, to receive what we don't deserve, and most certainly to receive what we cannot buy, the love of God. At this Last Supper, Jesus had called his disciples together and arranged for them this Passover meal. I'm confident they didn't understand what was going on. They were not in that right place yet where they could understand all the responsibility that Jesus was now going to give them as his followers. They still had so much to learn about servant leadership. They couldn't possibly understand how much that was going to cost them. But Jesus finished by telling them and encouraged them that those who stood by him through thick and thin would in the end reign with him. God is no man's debtor. Those who take up their cross and follow Jesus will someday share in the wearing of that crown. We're reminded of Jesus' prayer tonight to God the Father in Gethsemane, "Your will, not my will, be done." Do we pray that same prayer to God? Or are you like Judas, thinking and believing that we know really what's best? That prayer really strikes me, that prayer from Jesus, "Your will, not my will, be done." In the Lord's Prayer we pray it, don't we? "Your will be done, your kingdom come." I think that battle continues with us as we follow Jesus, about which will we're going to follow. The will of Jesus, our Lord, or our own wills. It leaves us with some questions. Are we, you and I, in that covenant relationship with God? Are we in that place where we're pledged to walk with him, to follow him, and to be with him? And this communion is central to God's covenant with you and me. Is Jesus Lord of our lives? So often when I think about the whole question of obedience, it raises the question, Am I pledged to follow Jesus? Are we pledged to follow Jesus? Whatever the cost, are we willing to take up our cross and follow Christ? I'm sure this isn't for you, but I know that I can so easily forget things on a daily basis. Ask me what I did last week. I can't remember. So the question is, when we take communion, do we take it regularly? Because that's what we do each month. We'll do it to make sure that we never forget why we're doing it, what it is we're actually doing when we break the bread and drink the wine. Are we remembering God's love for us? Or are we looking at the person who's perhaps giving us the bread and wondering why they haven't given us the wine yet? This service is about us remembering what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. And God doesn't want us to forget that. He doesn't want us to forget the price that was paid. Let's remind ourselves too as we receive the communion tonight. Is it a pledge to follow Jesus? Are we doing it because we always do it? I pray tonight that it is part of that covenant relationship with God. We are pledging ourselves to follow Christ Jesus and not to deny him. These words again from the Garden of Gethsemane: your will, not my will, be done. Often we struggle and strive for my will rather than God's will. And the decisions we make in the church, whatever it's about, who are we trying to please? Who are we seeking to obey? My will or God's will? Remember, Judas thought he was in control, making all the decisions. And that's a severe warning, I think, to us not to be like that. Those of my age will probably remember a song, I think it's in the 60s or 70s, "I Did It My Way." That's exactly what Judas thought he should be doing it his way, not God's way. He was so wrong. So let's remind ourselves tonight as we gather around the Lord's table that we're here as brothers and sisters in Christ. We're here to remember what Jesus has done for us. Those things we take for granted so often. Let's remind ourselves too, it is God's church, not my church, not our church. And as you leave tonight, I hope you take these words with you: covenant. Remember what that means. That new relationship with God. Sacrament, something very special. A symbol of God's love for us. And communion, what we share together as brothers and sisters in Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, your will, not my will, be done. Help us, Lord, as we gather around your table, to remember what it cost for us to be set free from our sins. Pain, suffering, the disgrace, the humiliation, the mockery, the beatings. Those amazing words from the cross. Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. Lord, help us as we receive the bread and the wine tonight, Lord, so as to give you so much thanks for all that you've done for us, not just today, but every day, and for those whom we love in the Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we want to pledge ourselves to follow you this night, to walk with you through thick and thin. We want to be those who take up their cross and follow you. Help us, Lord. Fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit, that we may walk with you and talk with you and be with you day by day and moment by moment. Lord, let us never forget what price you paid for us to be free. Amen.